Podshow is pleased to bring you the following killer content direct from the all-new feature-rich podshow.com. Get it. Play it. Dig it.
The DivaCast, number 38, to March 2007. Everybody, this is Suzanne, and together the five of us make up the five fabulous, fun 40-something divas. And the girls got together without me while my husband and I and my son were sailing in New Zealand, and they went and recorded a DivaCast on their own, and they were trying out some new portable equipment. So the sound quality may not be what you're accustomed to, but bear with us, and it's always, always a good time with the girls on a girls' night out. So enjoy.
It would be perfect. It would be worth it. Oh, and you said.
This show is brought to you in part by Leapster, learning game system by LeapFrog. This is an award-winning handheld educational game system. You know what? And it's so cool. It teaches your kid to learn in ways that they actually love to play. And what I like about products like this, and this one in particular, is that it looks so much like the big kids' handheld games. And so little kids love it. It's targeted from children from pre-K to fourth grade. What's great about it is that they can learn math and science and write their letters, and it just teaches them because it's interactive. It's great for anytime, anywhere. Check it out. The Leapster Learning Game System by LeapFrog.
Cast.
And it's Friday night.
Yes,
Friday
and we don't have our music, but we will.
And we're sitting around a table with a glass of wine and candles, and we're enjoying ourselves. And
yes, we are. I'm Sharon.
I'm Amy.
I'm Julie.
This is Carrie.
And Suzanne and Robin are on their wonderful cruise to New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
So we're missing them, but
we're trying out a new little process, so yeah. We'll see how this sounds.
We'll see how it goes, guys.
We could spend a whole hour talking to you guys, and it could be nothing. Couldn't even record.
Right. We could not have turned it on correctly.
Yeah.
Especially since you can't see. I'm telling you what, I just turned 45, you guys, you know. Everything is just going downhill.
When did you turn 45, Miss Julie?
March 5th, and it really
Monday.
Is traumatic. And thanks to my divas, I had a wonderful night, and we went out to dinner, and I got flowers that are by my bedside, and got a new cookbook, and did we have the best dinner? That
yeah,
food was delicious.
The dinner was
couple
wonderful.
Bottles of nice wine, and it was just wonderful. But anyways, now I have an eye doctor visit next week because I can't see squat. I mean, I can't see close up. One of the girls at school today, she goes, well, Miss Julie, what's wrong? Can you not see far away, or can you not see up close? I go, yes.
I can't see all of the above.
I'm an interpreter for the deaf, but I can't see what people are saying. I'll just listen inside.
She's going to wear two patches over her eyes.
I'm telling you what, it's just a mess. Girl goes to squat.
Oh, well, that's
45.
What happens when you turn 45.
Sharon knows 45 stinks.
Hey, no, it does not. That's not a good thing to say. 45 is lovely. Just
it
like
is.
Because
you
you're not.
That's true.
45 is young.
It's young. It's the new young 35 or
yeah,
whatever. But I'm just telling you.
Positively about
I
that.
I think positively. I've just noticed more and more in the past couple of years that, golly, you know what? You just start noticing age more. You know, you just really
Why are you
do.
Looking at me?
I need some help here, baby.
She's older. She's
good,
older than you.
Yes.
Sharon. How many years?
She won't tell, remember?
You know what? This is not a good topic. This is not a good topic for
It
me.
Doesn't
Okay,
matter.
Let's change it. Well, we were going to start a new tradition.
Yes.
Yes.
About birthday divas.
Yeah.
Why are y'all looking at me? This is evidently something I don't know about.
That's right. We're undercover emailers behind your back.
Yes. We've been talking about you.
Because it was your birthday.
Would that be the first time?
Yes.
I don't
the first
think
time
so.
This week.
All right. What's the new tradition?
Well, the new tradition was that we were going to talk about all the lovely, wonderful things that we cherish.
Honoring
about
the diva
you.
On her birthday.
Oh, no, see, I think we should do that every year. I think that's a good
well,
idea.
Well, you know, let's just try it for one. She's like, I want more.
No, I think we need to do that, and I think it'd be cool to Well, you know, I was talking to a girl at work.
This is not your time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is not your time. You just shut up and listen.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Can I tell you the moment that sticks out in my head that I remember I like this girl?
Okay.
It
and
was.
That would be Julie. She likes
Julie. She likes
Julie on her birthday, her tribute. I was in the mom's group, and we were talking about things. I think it was like an advice, words of advice to each other. And Julie said, if you spill rice on the floor, don't pick it up. Let it dry for a couple days. It's a hell of a lot easier to pick up when it's dry and you can sweep it up. I was like, I love that. That is great advice because you're trying
to pick
up
exactly,
sticky rice.
Because we were talking about cleaning up and being frustrated with our toddlers.
Yeah.
And I said, grits, rice, or pasta, just leave it there overnight. And then the next morning you can sweep it up because it's all dry and hard.
Yeah, because
I totally remember that.
Pick up sticky rice. Isn't that funny?
That is a good thought. I can remember the first time I met Julie.
We all met at the mom's group first.
Yeah. Yeah. But what sticks out?
Sharon, did you? Yes. Was that the first time we met you?
Yes, after I invaded mom's group.
Well, I didn't know if we had met you before that with through our other friend.
No.
Amy, go ahead.
The mom's group that Sharon wasn't part of.
I had to, yes.
No, but Julie was one of the leaders in that group, and I can remember going to that group, and it was to support the people that were starting this group, because Donna, another friend of ours, was saying, oh, a friend of mine is starting this group, and I'm just going to go there to support her, and come on, go, and I was like, oh, I want to do this, but I went, and Julie was one of the leaders, and I can just remember thinking, she's cool, this is a cool thing, it's not all about religion and you know, stuff like that. It was more of a support friendship.
Yeah, it wasn't a preachy thing. It was more a fellowship.
Golly, you're...
I was nursing my youngest when we started.
And how old was your youngest? Because he was...
We started in January, September. He was born in September.
So he was just a couple months old.
4 months old.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I can remember having him in a car seat and covered up like he was sleeping and just wailing in that thing. And you were just like, cool. It was okay.
He was my third kid.
And I was thinking, man, she's pretty. She's got it going on. She can chill out and not worry about that.
You didn't know I was slipping drugs.
She's like Benadryl. Underneath. She's going,
we are Benadryl.
Yeah, exactly. Can you believe that? And that was 9 years ago. He's 9 now.
Yeah, that was a long time. We've known each other too long.
And the story about when you were pregnant with him and you were sitting in the van and the one really good-looking girl who we love, but she came out in her little tennis outfit.
Little Barbie.
This is the first person she met in our town.
Oh, please help me.
And you're like 60 pounds overweight.
I had just birthed that child. Now I'm like, you know, boobs are leaking and I'm nursing. I'm in the van so I wouldn't have to go in and embarrass myself. And I'm sitting in the car and my husband had gone in to get my oldest out and comes out and goes, look, honey, look who I met.
Barbie.
You know, I look out and I'm like, oh, for God's sake, I have to be nice to her. You know, I'm sitting there and I got this kid I'm nursing and I look out and I'm like, this is great. I hate this town. And she's like, hey, how are you? Nice to meet you. And I'm like, I am going to shoot him when we get home. I did. I was like, how dare you bring somebody to the car that looks like that when I look like this? It was funny. Oh, you know how it is when you just had a baby. Golly.
But I do remember we opened a restaurant, my husband and I, and my parents were out of the country. And we had to be there all the time. And Julie just was like, I'll take your kids. Oh, no problem. No big deal. I'll take your kids. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. You know.
Did you know her well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but still, I mean,
yeah, we knew.
I did that?
Yes.
What was I thinking?
You took my kids, too.
Yeah.
She always had like 15 kids in her house.
We just drop them off every summer and pick them up.
But I took your kids, I mean, the ones that wanted to come to my house.
No, well, my house is conducive to that.
Yeah, it was the summer.
I have a very, when it's hot outside, because we have a pool and a fenced-in backyard, and it's very conducive to kids. And I can still be there and get stuff done and know the kids are in the back. I don't like them little, because then I have to be with them, but, you know, when they're our kids' age.
I don't like them little.
I gotta admit, having a bunch of kids is fine for me. I don't care if they're running around, but there's that whole meal thing that you have to deal with. It's like, oh, I have to feed these kids. It's like, oh, what am I going to feed them?
But Julie was always good because you could always get, like, chicken nuggets and stuff from at her house.
She's got, like, chicken nuggets. Freezers full of stuff full of food.
Listen, if you're keeping that many kids, you just learn what to do.
Yeah, and
you learn pizza feeds the multitudes.
Yeah. On the day
butter jelly.
Yeah, same thing.
Do we have any other good things about Julie?
too many.
Good things?
Yeah.
Julie is the girl that will do anything for you and will take on probably too much for herself and doesn't know when to say no.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
I say no.
You don't.
Well, and I'll tell you what, Julie is so creative. She just knows what to do.
And that's
why I call her to ask her.
Right. What should
Julie,
I do?
This what person, should I yeah. do?
She's what do you mean? Just gonna have to, you have to go talk to the parents in your neighborhood?
Bullets.
When you talk to parents in your neighborhood, is that what you mean?
Just about anything.
Or about her wallpaper in her bathroom.
You can anything. Wallpaper.
No, even they can't. Paint. If Sharon called me and asked me to wallpaper,
yeah,
I'd be
you
laughing.
Julie did my bagging. Yeah. And
I wallpapered your kitchen and I bagged your bathroom.
She hasn't done that for me.
I know. She tends to do that for you, Sharon.
Yeah, what's up with that?
The wallpapering, the bag painting. What else
she
you got her to
better.
Do? You're using her.
What am I getting out of it?
I know. What are you getting out of it? Sharon's like, shut up. It's working for me.
Carrie. I guess my podcast and my birthday will be really short.
Happy birthday, Sharon.
No, but we just love
we got
very,
shrimp.
Very much.
I love you guys. You made my birthday. You really did. It was wonderful. It was just so nice to go and sit and be women.
Friends.
Yeah.
Not moms, not wives, not daughters, just women and girlfriends.
Yeah. And speaking of which, we need to do a lake trip.
I'm ready.
About.
Let's go. I am so ready. Mom's like ready.
Since we're may or may not be recording.
I think
are
we are.
Talking
I think
about
we
Julie?
Are. I'm not good at being, I don't like being like the spotlight. I don't like this. I know. I felt very loved Monday night.
Only Monday night.
I felt very loved.
So, you know, we did a show on sex ed.
Yes.
And how we talk to our children.
Yes.
And just the other day I was driving to work and I was listening to NPR. And it was this whole stuff.
I didn't do that.
I like
that
it.
Down. I didn't
I'm
do
with
that.
You, Amy.
Okay.
For all
this
you listeners
Karen.
That like NPR, just feel free to write into the forum to Carrie and Amy. And the ones who don't care for NPR can just go ahead and write into nobody.
because Julie's not on the forum. She doesn't
because
have time.
She is. I'm the one that made the mouth
noises. I'm on the forum, by the way.
Why do you not like NPR? There's like good,
because,
intelligent
okay. Are you
topics.
Insinuating
let her
other?
Answer you. Answer.
Yeah, are you insinuating that the other talk radios aren't?
No, but she's wondering why you don't like NPR.
Why
that's the
are you singling out
that?
NPR?
I don't know. So I can't.
So anyway, they talked about sex ed, and it was, they interviewed these teens. And these teens all got on there and they were saying how their folks talked to them about, you know, the talk.
Right.
Cool. And so they interviewed these kids and they're like going, my parents never said anything to me about sex ed. And then you'd hear this other one, my mother never said anything to me about sex ed. And I mean, all these teenagers are saying they've never had the talk. And then they interviewed these parents and the parents are going, well, I'm sure we talked to you about this.
Yeah, because they don't admit they did.
And no, but they're like, I'm sure I talked to you. And the kids would come back and they'd say, well, I have two older sisters. And it was probably
by the third
but
kid, they
like,
forgot.
It was really interesting because I'm thinking to myself, I'm already thinking, did I talk to my fourth grader about about that? And when I ask him, because I'm not sure, he's going, yeah, we've already talked about it. I'm like, oh, okay. But I'm thinking,
is he telling me that?
Really
just
talk
to shut
about
me up.
It.
Wow.
You know what?
That's very interesting.
Here, let me just say this. I think it is an ongoing conversation. I think it's, you give them some initial facts, then you move them on to more facts, and then you have to get into that whole morality kind
right.
of conversation
right.
of what.
Somebody remind Sharon that we already.
Yeah, we've already talked about this. I know, but I'm reiterating it.
Okay, I'm just making sure you remembered
it. I didn't say
you did.
It.
I think
now,
you did.
You
then.
Actually did.
No, I didn't. You're lying.
But the other thing that this one teen got on there and said, she goes, and whatever you do, parents, she said, whatever you do, don't get your kid in the car and have the conversation.
Oh, and that's what
and
you
And I was just
did.
Like, because I thought that was such
oh,
a great
idea. Oh, I thought it was good, too.
We all liked your idea.
Why? Because
your husband
trapped.
Did.
They felt trapped. Right. And it was like, well, tough crap. You need to feel
feel trapped. I mean, what else are you going to talk about?
Well, you could, mine was on the couch and then buried his head in the pillows.
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
Yeah. But they said that they felt, well, this one said that she felt trapped when her parents did that in the car.
Well,
whatever
I'm telling you,
don't do it in the car.
You know, I work in the high school, and when I was working in the middle school, that's when they offer the sex ed class. They don't offer it. They teach it in health. And I was in there, and let me tell you, the teacher did a thing where they could write down an anonymous question.
Oh.
Just write down your question, put it in the box, and I'll draw it and answer it.
Oh.
Holy moly. My hands were sweating.
What's she going to say?
Well,
did you have to interpret that?
Yes, and I told this story last night at my sign language class because we had a deaf guy there, and it was really funny, and we were talking about sex signs and things and how important it is to know which signs are sex signs, and so you don't sign something and you're really signing like penis or whatever.
Yeah, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and yeah, whatever.
Penis is okay. Remember, we had this talk.
Okay, but you don't want to sign it when you're trying to sign like an IBM presentation.
Right.
By accident. That's why you know them, really.
Right, right.
So I was so proud of myself after I'd graduated from my 2-year degree in interpreting, and I was so proud of myself that I knew all the sex signs. Well, I got a long-term sub position for an interpreter that went out and was pregnant. So I went to a high school, and I'm sitting there, and I had 4 deaf boys in this class full of hearing boys, and they separated the boys from the girls. Well, I interpreted all of it, and I used all the correct signs, and I was so proud of myself. I pat myself on the back, bell rings. I'm walking out, and I'm so proud of myself, and I look down the hall, and every boy, hearing and deaf, are using all the sex signs that I had just taught them in the class. Now I spell everything.
And on wait a second. She was talking about you.
Yeah. So then I go to middle school and Now I spell everything. But so they drew a question.
There you go.
And one boy wanted to know, and
how you gonna say this?
That's what I'm trying to figure out because I know him. I know his parents because they go to our church. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, his parents would die if they knew he was asking this. But
how did
of course,
you know it was his question? I thought it was anonymous.
Because he's telling everybody, that's my question.
That's my question.
Yeah, I mean, he's proud of it, you know? And I'm like,
funny.
And it was, what was it? Can you catch venereal disease from oral sex?
Yes.
And she's like, and I'm like, my hands start sweating. I mean, I'm serious. I'm like not comfortable with and we're in a trailer. Not even a nice big classroom, but a trailer with boys
good
and girls.
Georgia schools with the trailers. I wonder if other states. I know.
So she just calmly went in to know you can't unless you have a lesion in your mouth and the whole thing.
I just say yes. Yeah.
I would have said yes. Yeah. You're gonna die.
You're gonna die. Mom's gonna know the minute she looks at you, and you're gonna die.
And you've got it written on your face when you walk out. I mean, I'm just like, I'm all into that. I'm into the scare factor. I'm sorry, but
well, in response to feedback on shows, one of the shows that we did was on submissiveness. Submissive.
I missed that one too.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were battling about the word. Remember?
Yes.
Submissive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when I was with my sister-in-law down in Disney, she came up with the word interdependent.
Ooh.
And I like that. Rather than being submissive, your relationship is interdependent. Do you get it?
So it's both of you. It's a
joint. Because that's the whole concept we're trying to come up with, that the man, the husband's trying to hear your side of it and come up with a decision that's best for both of you, so you're not like this like submissive woman who's not making any decisions. But I thought that was a cool term for marriage, interdependence.
Submissive isn't a good word, but the concept is trust.
I know, so interdependent is good because it's like...
But you know, and the bottom line is, you know, I think in any good marriage, you know, the wife makes certain decisions about certain things and the husband has to make certain decisions. You know, it's just, it can't be one-sided as far as complete control. Otherwise, you're living with a control freak.
Because if your husband loves you like he loves Christ, then there's not an issue. That's the whole point in the Bible. I'm just saying.
Well, and the point is, if something's really
you and respect your opinion.
If something's really important to one person, like with Joe and I, if something's really important to me and not so, if he's not really passionate about it and it's not a big deal, then we go my way. If he's if he's really gung ho about it and I don't really care. I mean, you get into those problems when you're both really
gung ho.
Yeah, and then you have to. Then you've got to somewhere along the line that you say trust, put it out there, and then trust that someone's going to
hash it out.
Well, when that happens in our family, we have the perfect solution.
We just do nothing.
Let it just fall where it might.
Amy, we just let it sit there.
Amy, though, that is the funniest thing
ever. What do you say specifically? Like, what's an example of that?
We're thinking of kitchen.
That's what I was going to say. Can you tell your story about those things?
The corbels.
Yeah, I forgot
what it's called. Does everybody know what a corbel is?
I have no idea.
It's the things that hold up your bar under
the... It's the little decorative thing, but it's the brace also that holds up your granite.
The wrought iron.
Okay. So, you know, you can get like these really ornate ones or you can get... But they're expensive as all get out. And like we spent like $500 worth of corbels and we order them and we get them in and the guy comes and puts them in and then the granite goes on top of them. It looks fine. It's great. It's good. All's great. And David comes up to bed and the next morning I'm in the shower and he's like, I found better corbels.
These are already
online.
Installed.
They're already
mailed
installed.
In, you know, grouted around.
And he goes,
or whatever.
I found better ones. He goes, there's pictures of them. I got them on the internet. They're downstairs on the bar.
They're cheaper.
They're less expensive and stuff. And I said, too bad. They're already installed. It's not going to happen. No way. No way. He goes, you're going to like them a lot better. So I go down. Sure enough, I do. I like them a lot better. They're a lot cheaper. But they're already installed. But, you know, so... Even tonight when he just called, he goes, I'm sitting here looking at the kitchen, looks great except those corbels.
He's going to
perseverate.
Exactly. He's going to corbels.
I mean, if you take them out and have them reinstalled, the difference in prices.
Right.
The price is going to be outrageous. They're going to have to take the granite off of the counter.
Oh,
I don't think they do.
Are you serious?
No,
that's
honey.
What
that...
this guy said.
Well, either
he's already talked to the guy about it.
David did? I just think that's so funny because you know what? Kurt would never even. You know what?
No, Doug would not.
I went and bought napkin rings the other day. This is so queer. Found some cute little stainless ones that match my backsplash. My son, my oldest son, comes in the door, comes upstairs, goes, hey, Mom, hey, the table looks cool. Where'd you get those napkin rings?
It's just like the sheets.
Just like that. Just like the sheets. That's exactly right. And I go, thanks, son. I got them today. And then he grins and he goes, Dad hadn't even noticed them, has he? I said, nah. It's just so funny that your husband's so in tune to everything in the house. I could paint a mural. And I'm telling you.
Let me tell you something. I could move.
You
know what I don't like? That my husband doesn't notice things, which is okay with me sometimes, because my oldest daughter will be like, hey, Mom, where'd you get that? How much was that? And I'm like,
none of your business.
No, it's like,
don't you never ask. You never ask
I'm
how much
like, why do you have to point that out?
Oh, okay, I've got it. Okay, Mom. I grew up in a household where my mother kept 70% of the finances away from my dad. Okay, he has no idea.
This is Sharon.
Yes. This was how I was raised. So Doug obviously has caught on to the whole practice.
Hoarding of the money thing?
Not hoarding, but just, I'll give you an example. My dad and Doug went shopping one day at Home Depot. They needed some screws. It took my dad 20 minutes to make a decision to spend 48 cents on the screws. Because he just kept saying, I know I could find some others. And Doug's like, it's $2.
I'll give you the $2.
Yeah. So anyway, so my dad
knows he's very cheaper. Is that the thing?
He thinks he could have found them around the house somehow.
Oh. So, she's hiding them from me.
So anyway, so now the concept is Giselling, because that's my mom's name.
Right.
So Sharon, are you Giselling me on this? Mm. So that's our new term is Giselling.
Well, you know what?
We've told my mother, he knows. So it's like, okay, is this a Giselle price or is this the real price?
Well, you know what I have to say? I think it's funny and I'm really proud of him if he can keep up with even how much you've spent. I've never seen anybody in my entire life that buys and takes back. If I go, hey, Sharon, I'm running over to Walmart. I got some money to return. What's happening going? Sharon, I'm going over to Macy's. Hey, I got a return. I'm like, for God's sake, the woman has a stash in her car that she returns.
She has a gift closet.
I'm like, how much was that? Well, I don't know, because I returned this and that. Am I lying? It's the funniest thing ever.
Someone will say something, Doug will say, that's all right.
She's going to turn it anyway.
I don't worry about how much. He doesn't even worry about what I spend, because
you return the majority of it, I return anyway.
This is not really funny, but it was kind of, I mean, realized at one point it was a problem, but I had an ex-sister-in-law who kept all the price tags on her paintings and pillows and stuff. Like, the first time I met her and went to the house, I was like, this house is decorated so cute. It was like so cute. So then the next time I come, exponentially like exploded. Like if there were 5 pillows the first time I saw the house, there were 25, and there were like a million photo, like, you know, pictures. Mm-hmm. Open up the closet, there's all these pictures in there, and on the back of them are price tags. And her husband's like, oh yeah, she'll be returning them. So she like decorates her house and then
gets
returns
tired
it.
And then returns it.
Yeah, it was kind of
fun. I'm not that bad.
No, Sharon doesn't do that, but honestly, she returns every, any store you gotta go, you need to call her. She'll call me, she goes, what are you doing? I go, well, I don't know, I was thinking about going to the store. Where are you going? I gotta return.
Well, is it this? You're like, you buy things for your kids and it doesn't do this?
It's because she's indecisive.
She's making fun of her dad.
It is the funniest thing ever.
I don't have trouble. What's your dad's name?
I don't have trouble.
What's your dad's name?
Gene.
Okay, are you Gene in it? Let's just do that. Let's term it.
It is, no, Gene buys it. He's decisive. He buys it.
No, he's not. He took 20 minutes to buy 48 cents.
I know, but have you ever seen him in a garage sale?
Oh,
bless his heart.
The other thing that we were talking about was that some of our listeners were Robin, actually. Robin was saying that she felt like we weren't having enough personal conversation. And that she was felt like she was having to learn something on a lot of our podcasts because we had topics that were potentially enlightening. And so what my question is, and I would like to put this out to the listeners, is what do y'all want? You know, would you prefer that we have, you know, chit-chatty kind of stuff like we just did now? Or would you prefer topics that, you know, are that you can learn something from or be enlightened? Or do you like the interview format? Or do you like the
mixture?
Or, you know, it would be interesting to get their feedback on that.
Well, I know. It's kind of like we've gone,
I think we need some feedback from those guys and not, you know,
I think Robin had a good point.
Yeah, I do too, but I'd like to hear it from other folks too.
I have to say, when I was in Disney with my sister-in-law, that was one thing that she said to me. She was like, you know, I really liked the beginning when you guys would talk and have conversation and I was getting to know you, and I miss that. She goes, I miss you guys getting into depth about who you are and what's going on in your life and having that part.
Well, and I think there's something to that, because if our mission is inside every woman is a diva and that we're here to empower other women to engage in other girlfriend relationships and to build their own diva cast, so to speak, I think it's important that they learn who we are and how we got there and what we go through in the process.
And I also want to say, hey, Robin.
Hey, Robin.
We love Robin.
Yeah. She's
Hey, Robin, join our forum. Where are you? You should be on there.
Yeah, there you go.
She also had the same kind of feedback. Well, that's basically what,
no, she was the Robin that Amy was
what
talking
I
about.
Mentioned.
Sherry took her headphones off, walked around, and just got back. I think I'll delete that.
Robin.
Yeah. We'll just X that out.
There's so many Robins that listen to us.
Oh, Lord.
No, but then the other question I thought is that, you know, you got that feedback from your sister-in-law. We got it from a good friend of ours, Robin. Mm-hmm. Now, do the listeners that don't know us as well, do they have the same thought process, though?
Oh, because you know they don't know us.
Yeah. I mean, so
these are people who know us and
yeah, I mean,
love
they're,
us.
They're,
people that don't know us go, I don't give a
crap. We don't have that.
Question.
So cares.
Put it out there on the forum, you guys, and let us know, or email us, or give us a call.
Voicemail. Yeah. I like the voicemails.
I like the voicemails too.
Let us know.
Don't look at me.
I feel good about that. I could edit, and I'd be happy to edit a lot out.
This podcast is 2.7 seconds.
Brought to you by Amy. This is Amy.
Okay, you guys, we're going to play you this song. It is too darn funny.
Lisa,
it's hilarious. Are we going to play it on this one?
Was? Lisa.
Koch.
Yeah.
And it is so funny.
A middle-aged woman is hysterical.
It is hilarious, and it goes in hand. But anyway, but to get back, what I'm saying is that all the women out there, I just want them to, I mean, you know, you watch us divas and you listen to us, and we are all real nice, but you know what? It's a chore to have relationships and to have friendships, and it's a hard thing to work on. I know it comes as a shock.
It's a chore to be my friend.
It, you know what? But I just want to encourage women who may be having doubts or problems in their friendships that it's worth working through.
You know what? I just read this article.
That's what I'm saying.
And I can't, because I've been drinking some wine, I cannot quote it, but it was in the New York Times. And it was talking about when women get under stress, whether they have a marital problem, family problems, work problems, they tend to pull back and you know, don't want to tell their girlfriends about what's going on. A lot of times they get...
I think that's very true. And
it
I think
is
it's
true.
Very true in the divas.
And it was saying, this article was saying, it's the very thing that you should not do. Girlfriends are a huge stress... It's chemically, and like they have all these studies in this article about how it's proven that... It's a huge stress reliever to get together with girlfriends, that oxytocin gets going, and how...
Oxytocin?
No, that's a drug.
Oxytocin. I'm buying it.
Oxycontin. Oxycontin is the drug that people get addicted to.
Oh, my God.
But it's the same thing.
Listen to her.
Oxytocin, no, isn't it right?
I think it's...
I always mispronounce
it. Is it oxy?
No, it's...
Sure.
No, it's some kind of hormone. I know what you're talking about. It's like when you cry.
Is it oxa?
Is it oxa?
Sera. Is it sera?
No, it's oxytocin.
Nephrin.
Okay. Okay, good.
We're all pharmacists.
Oh, my God. We're pitiful. All right, Carrie. We digress.
That's a good thing, though.
What is last?
No, it's important to have the friendships and to open up to your friendships when you have issues.
Because it is tested. Shut up, Amy. It's proven.
Right. That it does work to your benefit if you do put it up.
Why do you think that it's not... Why didn't you just... You made the comment that it does not happen with the divas.
No, I said it does happen with the divas. Every diva pulls back when they're stressed out. If you think about it, it happens. And if you think about this, guys don't do it.
Do I do that?
Yes, absolutely. When you're scary, Carrie, it's because you're pulling back.
Only when I'm stressed out with the divas.
But you don't... It doesn't matter what you're stressed out about.
If I'm having a problem...
You're still pulling back and you're not sharing what you're stressed about. And that's the point of that article. If you share what you're stressed about...
Right.
Then that's the whole point. And that's what we're trying to...
But I don't feel like...
Oh, my God.
You just take them off, Sharon. You don't have to have
them. I'm having trouble here.
I mean, in my mind, that's the whole point of the divas. I think that's your projection, my love.
Okay, Amy, you don't think you've done it?
Oh, she's pointing to Amy.
In what situation?
I think everybody has done it.
Okay, I don't want to be pulling back. I mean, when I have family crises going on... Oh, look at Sharon. She's hiding. I admit it.
Why do we do that?
Because I think it's human nature.
I don't.
For me,
want it
I
to
can
be
tell
human nature.
But I think you do it. You don't tell everybody what's going on with your family. I don't tell everybody what's going on with my family. And when I'm stressed out, I pull back. And the fact that I'm angry or I'm stressed, like you do, you said when I'm mad at the divas, I project
this. If I'm mad at the divas, I do, yes, because I need distance. I need space. If I'm upset with... Here's the difference. If I'm upset with, like, my husband, I don't, like, regurgitate all that
right.
stuff because I don't want to dishonor him and have...
But that's what I'm saying.
But I understand that. But if I was having major problems with him, I think that I probably would come to you guys and say, I think when you're just newly married, women tend to just kind of bitch and moan about their husbands.
Because it's
be
all
like,
new.
He's being a pain. He's not taking the garbage out. And then when you have some experience and you're like, okay, you know what?
You learn it's give and take.
You see what other women go through. Like my one girlfriend who's gone through a divorce, and I'm like, I have nothing to complain about.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm good. I'm okay. Then I don't bring up this day-to-day. Unless, you know, we're just having a conversation. I'm like, yeah, well.
Yeah, but, you remember the day we were leaving on vacation? I go, he is such a jerk.
Yeah.
My husband's being a jerk.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just like...
so funny.
They were so both being
yeah,
jerks.
Yeah, I was totally not worried about
Andre. I don't think jerk is the word we use.
Start with a J. I think there's another word with an A.
I thought it started with a D. We were not happy.
But if I was having major, major stuff, like, I don't know, I think I would. I don't know.
I would hope we would. I don't think...
Why do you think that is?
I can tell you from personal experience why it wasn't.
Why?
Because I've gone through some stuff,
why
and
no?
you guys didn't know any of it.
Right.
And the reason is because I didn't want to burden you guys with my problems.
I don't believe that.
Mm-mm.
Like, I don't think that's the reason. I've said that about some other things in my life, and somebody called me on it, and they said, you know what? It's not burdening your husband that you're worried about. It's you not... You're not trusting what their
judgment
their judgment on.
No, it was in dishonoring my husband. It was acknowledging what was happening.
Yeah.
And it was that I didn't want you guys to have to deal with all of it, what I was dealing with, honestly.
But why would
the other thought is you don't want it to come across as you being unloading on us.
Well, I told you the other day, wouldn't you? One of you guys I was talking to. I said, it was you, because you go, how you doing? I go, you know, I just want to tell you nothing's going on over here. I just want to say there's not a darn thing happening in my house right now.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to say nothing's going on, everything's fine. I would just love to say, I don't know what's going on. What's going on with you?
Yeah.
And sometimes in the peaks and valleys of life, your valleys last longer than your peaks, and it's not a reality. So you get tired of whining and moaning. And, you know, and I know there's been people I've been around where you talk to them, they're always a downer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my greatest fear is to be a downer.
Yeah.
Because you know what? In reality, my glass is half full. I'm so not a pessimist. I'm a lot of things. I'm bitchy. I'm controlling. I'm whatever else. But I am not a pessimist. I am not a pessimist. My life is going to be good. Everything is going to be fine. God has not brought me this far to drop me and let me go. I just know that in my heart.
Yeah, right.
But so sometimes I feel like, God, there she is moaning and groaning again. So I will stop that conversation and not say anything because I'm like, oh, where are we going now? 6 years? For God's sake, how long
is it? I can honestly tell you, I don't, you know, this is the opportunity right now where I could go, you know, Julie?
Right.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, because I won't tell you you've been a bitch and moan and pain in the ass, you know? But it's like not that at all.
No, but I'm telling you my perception of it.
I'm telling you, and my perception is that you don't, like you said, we had no idea what was going on with you until you had gone through the whole thing. So, I don't know. My hope is that that we can be a supportive, you know, support system.
Well, you do support me, and I know that. But what I'm saying is you got to understand that sometimes when people don't divulge things, that was my main reason, is because I hate those people where I'm around and you go, hey, how are you?
I know, when I just had this conversation with a friend of mine today, we ran into each other at the grocery store, and her friend's aunt walked through and said, oh yeah, that's a bad day for this person, da da da, and I was like, what's up? You know? Well, this woman was going through a divorce. Today was the day to tell the kids that her parents are getting a divorce.
Oh, my gosh.
And she said, I had no idea. Very good friend, lived on her street, but didn't want to burden the friend, didn't want to tell her what's going on. And here we go. We're getting divorced, and she had no clue. And here, this woman, I felt so bad for her. I'm like, she's been going through this. Man, she's got two daughters, and it's like, she's been going through this by herself because she's too worried about what people are going to think,
or didn't want to burden them, or whatever. And it's a hard place to be because you go through so many emotions.
Yeah.
You know, you go through shame, you go through guilt because I enabled the situation forever.
Mm-hmm.
You go through...
failure, blame.
Yeah, failure, blame. And the whole moaning thing. I'm just not that moany kind of person. And one of my biggest pet peeves is people who are such a downer. And I...
Well, you know, there are people out there who are just chaos prone. I really believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, they...
And I certainly don't feel like any of us are like that.
No, that's not... No. But there are people out there who just... Whether it's brought on or circumstantial.
And you know, when you walk up to them, whatever you say, they're going to have some catastrophe that's happened.
Humongous problems going on.
And I don't... I'm so conscious of that. And that's, I think...
And not your everyday stuff.
But don't you think that's people that have had stuff in their childhood, and that's almost a... place of normalcy for them, that they feel comfort almost?
I mean, that is definitely...
I have no idea. I have no idea why some people like that. I don't know them well enough to figure that out.
I would say that that's probably true most of the time, but I think there are people who maybe had normal life and just can't get a break.
There's that one person that we know.
Mm-hmm. I know who we're all thinking of the same person.
And, you know, his wife is just... She is...
Okay, now I know we're not thinking of the same person.
The person I'm talking about is just, she's resigned to the fact that he is who he is, and he is perpetually going to be, every time you talk to the guy, he's like, oh, here's this problem, here's that problem. You know who I'm talking about?
No. Oh, okay, yes.
And I talked to her at the retreat, and she's just like, you know what? He retired, I had to get a job. Because it was like...
He's one of those guys, I would think, someday you hear, has a whole nother family.
Oh, you know what? So, you know what, guys? This has been a great conversation. It's Friday night, and I'm tired.
Time to go home.
I think it's time to go home. So, you know what? Do send us your feedback. What are you looking for when you listen to the Divas? Do you want Diva conversation? Do you want interviews? Do you want...
Let us
I don't
know.
Know. yeah, we like to hear your feedback. And as always, we'd love to hear from you. So have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Take care.
The latest video cast by Marie Claire is out. I love this one. And you can check it out at themasthead.podshow.com. It's episode number 6, and it really features a friendly duel between the American and French of who is the most chic. I love this because they talked about a fashion smackdown, and the new buzzword seems to be glamorexia. But what I like is their focus is really not only external beauty, but inner beauty, just like the divas. That's what we're really trying to promote, is the well-being of every woman, not just what you look like on the exterior. The best quote that I thought was in this number 6 episode was, "The French take the effort to look effortless." So I'm going to remember that as I put on my makeup today. Thank you, Marie Claire, and any woman who has any minor interest in fashion, check it out at themasthead.podshow.com. The DivaCast is brought to you in part by Folgers. Folgers has 7 new gourmet flavors. Check them out. And you know what? This is even really cool. They are giving them away free, 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 free. Check out the flavors that they have at folgers.com/podshow. Check it out and get your free samples.
Email us at diva@thedivacast.com and leave us a message, 678-884-0524. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast because it's free. Go to thedivacast.com, no spaces.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.